Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa. Today on the show, I welcome the amazing, the extraordinary, and I'm not being sarcastic, Brian Volcheck, author of Do a Day. And in this interview, you'll understand what Do a Day means. And I got to tell you, I've known Brian for several years because he's been one of our Fitfluential ambassadors for quite a while. But during this interview, I was just absolutely blown away by what I learned about him, about his history. He experienced obesity at a very young age. We talk about that in this show. Obviously, he's lost more than 100 pounds, but he's, you know, we talk about things like depression and massive stress and parenthood and dealing with all of the stress and issues that parenthood can cause. His wife had a very, very serious illness. He almost lost his wife to this illness. All of this stuff was kind of piling on in his life. And with many people, you know, this happens to a lot of us, maybe not the same circumstances that Brian experienced, but similar in that it can feel like when it rains, it pours, right? I certainly have been through it. Many of you have heard me say that, you know, the year 2016, 2017 were like the worst year and a half or so of my life. But out of that, because I chose to learn the lessons, out of that has come the best transformation and now the best future ever. And certainly you're going to hear that from Brian in this interview today. So again, we talk about early in his life, how he dealt with obesity and depression, but then later when it started raining and pouring, life's chaos, how he made a very specific decision in his life and the changes he implemented that changed everything. And I'm telling you, I was taking so many notes. I was feverishly, scribbling. And then when he made these 4 points at the end of the show, I'm like, oh my God, we can do a show on each one of these points. And I know that you will agree. It changed me forever talking to him. And I felt like we've got to have him back on the show. I know he has a busy travel schedule with his book. He's a regularly requested speaker. And we're going to link to a lot of these items, not only his book, but some of his speaking engagements that you can access online in the show notes as well on fitfluentialradio.com. But for right now, please sit back and enjoy this interview with Brian Falchek of Do a Day. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, I have Brian Falchek, which I hope to God I said his name correctly.
You said it perfectly.
Did I? Yes. We're good. I am, for everybody listening, you know, I talked about Brian in the intro, and I think every single person is probably going to, and I encourage you to do that for yourself, but heck, also for a gift. I'm going to be bold and say that. I think that Brian's book, Do a Day, which we're going to talk about, what does that mean? What's this all about? You're going to be very interested in picking up several copies. And frankly, as I was preparing for the show, you know, I was just reading the description of the book and I'm like, what an incredible life. And I can't wait for you to hear his background story, not only his fitness story, but his story, because, you know, I love to have people on the show who have faced adversity, whether it's physical adversity, emotional, financial, relational, whatever kind of adversity. Sometimes we get everything. Brian's one of those people who's had adversity in every area, and you're just going to love to see what he's done with it. Because there's people that let it wreck them, and then there's people that let something come into their life and they deal with it, and then they use that to make a positive impact on the world. And while that sounds very Oprah or Pollyanna, it really is true. So we're going to get into that second part of the show. But Brian, I do always like, whenever I have somebody on Fitfluential Radio for the first time, I really just like our audience to kind of get to know you from a fitness perspective. And in that case, I want to ask you, You know, when was it for you in your life that you got into fitness, for lack of a better way of saying it? When is it that you started working out? Why was it? What was the reason that you started doing that? And then when did you find your fitness? Like, when did you find your fitness groove where you found your happy place?
So I'm glad that you added the second part of the question about like finding my happy place, because otherwise I'd have to answer the first question twice, because I'm kind of two different people through my life. So like I was really obese as a kid. And, you know, there's a whole backstory behind that. And obviously I get into that in the book, and I'm sure we'll talk about it a bit today. But through this amazing guy who ran the PE program at my high school, so the first person to bring exercise to me in a positive way, and not a like, you're fat and lazy, what's wrong with you? But, you know, what do you enjoy doing? What are you interested in? And how can we tie exercise to that so you don't hate it? Just like, sounds really obvious, right? But obviously that's not how my experience with physical fitness had been before. So through that approach, like as a mid to late teenager, that's when I lost 100 pounds and found fitness in terms of the knowledge around it. But I didn't fix the reasons why I had been obese. So I had to go through it again. I put on half the weight, and I would have kept putting it on if not for this particular moment that kind of froze the downward spiral in time. And that was in 2011 when I found my true motivation. I found my reasons for getting over the causes of the obesity. And I really owned fitness for myself. That's when I got into running and cycling, and I got certified as a personal trainer, became a Fitfluential ambassador. Like, all of that was sparked through this real wake-up call around, like, what do I actually want in my life? What do I care about above anything else? And the fitness was just such a crucial piece of that. Like, that's how I started to turn my life around.
You lost 100 pounds as a teenager.
Yeah.
I thought that was more in your adult life, but wow. No. I mean, that could be a whole other show, because I have such a heart for, you know, I see so many kids, and at such younger ages, tremendously overweight, and maybe it's not 100 pounds, but I mean, I often in the grocery stores down here in Texas will see kids, and I'm like, wow, just by how much weight they're carrying everywhere, but around their core. And I can see like, it's probably 40, 50 pounds. And I'm thinking, my God, when we were growing up, I didn't see that many kids that were overweight, let alone had to lose that much. And I think, how overwhelming that had to have been for you.
Yeah.
To be at those formative years and those years when you get so much peer pressure anyway.
Yeah.
And the gym teacher that you talked about, that's not the kind of gym teacher I remember growing up. So
No. And that's like, when people hear PE, they're like, oh, that, like, you just... And so I always have to explain, I'm like, it's not like it was at every other school, you know, like it wasn't. So this guy is, he's just incredible. He's Swiss. So he's not American. Maybe that's part of it, but like, he cares, and he's about values, and it just could, you know, he will not take any credit for him for any of this, which bothers me, because he deserves quite a bit. But yeah, he just had a totally different approach. It was awesome. And it was so necessary.
I would really love to address on the show, there's a lot of folks that are starting to write into us about having teenagers or kids in grade school that are, you know, really dealing with weight, and parents that have no idea what to do or how to start. And without getting into too much detail, because I want to get into, you know, your other life issues and the do-a-day, because what a great platform we can, or a baseline we can use there to change so many lives, get them getting to know you and then reading your book. I think it's extraordinary what you've dealt with and what you've done. But just one last question on what you dealt with. You know, you had such a great person who came into your life, but can I ask, just generally speaking, 100 pounds is a lot for anybody. To lose that weight. And I appreciate, and again, that's a third show, is the fact that you recognized, I lost the weight, but I really didn't behaviorally address what needed to change. And therefore the weight came back on, and you had to figure it out in a more sustainable manner as an adult. So that's a whole other show I think we can do. But my question for you is, what were some of the things, there might be some users listening who have kids, like what were some of the simple things that you changed maybe in diet and exercise that got you moving in the right direction that you hadn't been doing before?
So as a kid, the things were really, I didn't exercise before, because it was punishment. It was miserable. You know, like I was short of breath. I was in pain. Everyone's making fun of me. You know, you could see my teenage man boobs flopping around. Like, everything about it was horrible. And so that was the big difference with him, is it wasn't a humiliation. So like, you're not going to want to do that, especially as a teenager. Oh my God, you know, all you can think about is how everyone's judging you. And that was my big thing, is like, I didn't want to be the fat kid anymore. I didn't want the, like, a teenage boy. I would actually be psyched if a girl was even remotely attracted to me, but that's just not in the cards. Mm. So like, I didn't want that anymore, but it was a very external motivation, but that was enough then. So that, like, as he showed me exercises that I didn't hate and ways of doing it that were actually interesting instead of just like boring and monotonous, you know, like doing intervals or doing 5 minutes of three different things instead of one 15-minute exercise, like just to keep it more engaging. I think that's probably one of the reasons why, you know, some of the newer concepts like Orange Theory have done well, is like you just keep moving through different things. So sure, the whole monotony is gone, or boot camps, you know. It was kind of, it was like pre-boot camp days, and that's kind of what he did in a really nice way with this beautiful French accent. So it all sounded nice anyway.
That's but like, right. They can say diarrhea and it sounds, it was sexy.
What a nice word. Well, he talked about urine. Like, he'd come in and he'd be like, all right, gentlemen, what color is your urine? Because he wants to know you're drinking enough. But it's like ridiculous, right? But, you know, he introduced weightlifting, and especially for a teenage boy, that's like, do you want to have muscles and become, yeah, sign me up, you know? So right, it was like, it's not just running laps, which were miserable. It's like, you know, let's get on this machine and let's see what kind of weight you can put up. And for me as a big guy, I could put up a lot of weight. And that was one of the first things where I was like, oh, wait a second, I'm good at something physically. Like, yeah, where did that come from? So like, he found in pockets of enjoyment and success, and he just cultivated the heck out of them. So that, you know, if you did something that you weren't as good at, you sandwiching on either side of that, like, was something you were good at. So you had an overall positive view of the workout. And it got to a point where, like, I started going outside of the PE classes. Like, I would not get in trouble, but kind of like piss off the janitors because I wouldn't leave the weight room or like the cardio room. So it was great. Like, he got me to realize what I enjoyed and then to want to keep doing that. And that, like, that's a huge thing, is you want something that's self-reinforcing and repeating, not something that someone has to force you to reinforce and repeat.
For everyone listening, if you just take a step back and use his story, because I'm like, my whole world changes because I look at things in metaphors. And when and it's funny because I was reading one of my Joel Osteen books this morning, and he does that really well. I think that's why I relate to him, is he puts everything in metaphors, whether he's talking about a plant or the sun or whatever. But when I think about your story and the gym teacher and everything that you went through, the notes that I just took is, you know, weightlifting, huge. Most people are going to think that the way that you change and lose weight, and that mythology is still out there, is cardio, 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 yeah, cardio, cardio. And if you're not doing enough, then eat less and do more cardio, which we all know, most of us, which is what we need to get out there more. That's just a death trap as far as, like, why don't you just store fat and get yourself no wins? But the situation, I think you called it self-reinforcing, but I said, you know, your trainer got you in a position where you had some wins. You found out something that you could do well, and you started seeing results. And you also found something that was not like punishment. It wasn't like, well, yeah, you're heavy, I want you to give up everything you like to eat and go on the treadmill for 200 hours a week. And it, you know, that kind of an approach, even if that's extreme, it's like a punishment. It's like, yeah, you're going to jail. Where this, you found something you enjoyed, you got some wins, you had a reason to keep going. All of those are, metaphorically speaking, what we should be looking for as we find our fitness. So, I mean, that was brilliant. And again, I definitely think we should have you back on the show for some of these more targeted conversations. But I do want to move into today on this first show, talking about your book, Do a Day. I want you to explain first, you know, when I looked at, again, for everybody listening, when I looked at the description of his book on Amazon, which has so many fantastic reviews, and also because I'm like, how do I describe what Do a Day is? It describes a lot about what Brian's been through in his life. And obviously he shared a bit about his obesity journey and almost twofold, right? Because he gained the weight back and then he had to lose it again. Yeah. He's dealt with stress, depression, and I wrote down parenthood, but I think you're going to have to describe like what some of those issues were, because I wrote very fast. You almost lost your wife to a serious illness. I mean, he's had like major, major life changes and life issues that, and really I put up at the top of all of that, massive stress and anxiety. And this is a topic we're talking a lot about on the show, going forward, how that affects everything and why it's so important to recognize it and not just look at our fitness journey as calories in, calories out, and how much we're doing, you know, how many calories we've burned on our heart rate monitor. It's not that simple. Yeah. Start looking at the bigger picture and things will change. So Brian, tell us a little bit more about what happened in your life that led you to inevitably be writing this book, which is kind of your life mantra, the philosophy that you live by and that has changed so many other people's lives for the better.
Yeah. So thank you for all that. There's so much to the backstory, but in essence, like my parents got divorced when I was really young, which, you know, it's like half the country. I had all this anxiety from that because my sense that everything was going to be okay was taken away and I was too little to make everything okay myself. So I spent my whole life looking for what's going wrong and how it's going to hit me. And like, I just need to jump in and fix it. And that just made me a very anxious, worried person, and frankly, not a great person to be around. And it also meant I just wasn't living my life. So I tried to medicate that anxiety with food. And I can tell you, like firsthand research done, it doesn't work. Like food is not a treatment for anxiety. Because as soon as you're done eating, the reason why you ate is still there. So yep. You're still hungry. So you just go and eat more. And like Oreos just don't cut it.
Did you just say something bad about Oreos?
Oreos are vegan now. Because there's no actual food in them, but that's a whole other discussion. That's our fourth podcast. So like, no, I know. So like I that basically defined who I was. And I always say I wasn't living my life. I was an employee of it. And I hope there's no one out there who thinks that sounds good because it isn't. And so I had all of these, that's become one of my catchphrases. I don't know how I thought of it because it sounds much more brilliant than me, but hey, whatever, I came up with it. So, you know, I had a job that wasn't going the way I wanted to. It was becoming really political. That's not me. I had all this anxiety and I never dealt with it, never dealt with my parents' divorce. And that was just like, you know, I was sacrificing everything in the present moment. And while I'd lost all that weight, I put on half of it again. And so here I was like 32 years old. I'm a dad of a 2-year-old. I'm married. And I didn't look obese again. I was just saying I looked American. You know, like I just kind of looked like everybody. That's the only, like the second thing that I've said that's super brilliant. But those two
that's
things,
a t-shirt,
like my phrases. Totally.
That's a t-shirt waiting to happen.
But like when I see pictures of myself from then, I just did a TED talk and I had one in the background when I said that line. And I look at that picture, I'm just like, how did I think I was fit or healthy then? Like it boggles my mind. Mm-hmm. I put on not quite 50, but 45 pounds that I lost and I was miserable. And I'd had back surgery and didn't do the PT. So like I was in pain. So I had all these sources of angst in my life. And then my wife in the summer of 2011, she succumbed to this chronic illness that we didn't know she had. But now that we do, it explains a lot of issues that she had faced through her life. And it took her down and like every day got worse. She was losing 2 pounds a day. She was barely 100 pounds, couldn't get out of bed. And the doctors had no clue what to do for her and basically were just blaming her for the whole thing. They're like, oh, you're just depressed. Oh, you're doing this to yourself. Oh, you seem really anxious. That's probably all this is.
Wow.
And so her primary care doctor called on June 30th, 2011 to tell me he was going on a 6-week vacation and he'll check in when she's back.
Nice.
And I'm like, dude, do the math. Like she's 2 pounds a day. She will not be here when you're back. And I said that to him. I didn't call him dude. But he goes, okay, we'll take her to the ER if you need to. And he hung up.
Wow.
And I'm just like, seriously? So I walk into our bedroom and my wife's in bed and our little 2-year-old son is there looking at his mom, basically dying in front of his eyes. And he turned and looked at me and he just like, that was it. Like that just hit me like a ton of bricks. It's like, Brian, what in the world are you doing with your life? Mm. And it's not like, you know, why are you sticking around? Like, you know, dude, get out of here. It's like, I'm miserable and I'm miserable to be with. And like, while I'm doing all these things for my wife logistically, like preparing meals and I was working from home so I could take care of her while we tried to find someone to help out. I wasn't there for her in the way that she actually needed me to be. I wouldn't hear her. You know what I mean? Like Oprah's like, I hear you, like that kind of hear her. Like because my anxiety was so strong. Anytime she'd tell me about like, I feel like I'm dying, this is happening, I'm feeling this, I'd just be like, you need to stop. Like, you're just making it worse. You know, like you do this, do that. Like, don't just keep wallowing in it. Like I was just pushing her to like, it was the fixer, you know, and that's not what she needed. She needed someone to be like, that sounds incredibly difficult. How can I be there for you? You know, just like, let me just accept and validate how you're feeling and hold you through it. just to calm that back down. Because screaming at someone who's anxious actually doesn't help them with the anxiety, shockingly.
It sounds so simple when you say it, but yet so many people do.
All this stuff does.
The wrong approach, yeah.
Totally. And then, and you know, like looking at my son, it's like, I love that little boy more than anything in the world. And I'm completely failing him. Because he'll be like, you know, daddy, play with me. And it's like, oh, I can't play with you. I have to do this. I have to do that. And it's like, if I thought I had issues from my parents getting divorced, losing your mother when you're 2 years old and like you're a witness to the whole thing is so much more definitional. If he's going to have any hope at happiness with one parent, it's not going to be with the parent I was. And that's just like, when you come to realize that, it just shocks you, you know, into waking up. And the third piece was like, what about me? Like, why do I feel this sense of like, this is just who I am and how my life's going to be? I need to be miserable because that's the only way to stop all these bad things from happening. Maybe it's not as bad as I think. Like, I've had all these horrible things in my life. So I've thought like end of the world kind of moments, yet I'm still standing. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'm more capable than I think I am. Maybe I'm more resilient. And given that capability, maybe I deserve not to be so miserable through it all, because actually, like, I can handle this. And that brought such clarity of purpose and value for me. When I woke up the next morning, I felt completely different. Like, I felt like I finally had woken up in my life versus like just trudging through it. I mean, we all have these moments, and some of us never snap out of it, where we're like automatons every day, just going through the motions of that which we hate. And, you know, that's what I call like being an employee of your life. You know, it's like my wife and son were the family, and I was that guy who worked there. And that just sucks. And I did not want that anymore. And beyond just not wanting it, she's not going to survive. And he's going to be, you know, not the person he deserves to be and has a right to be if I don't wake up. That was what did it for me.
Fitfluential Radio fans, I have a gift for you. And by gift, I mean the gift that truly keeps on giving. Head on over right now to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up for our now live VIP Fitfluential membership. Our Fitfluential membership is not a diet program. It's not a workout program. You will have access to learning from some of the best trainers, dietitians, nutritionists, doctors, chiropractors, massage therapists, chefs, athletes, authors. I could go on and on and on. A lot of folks that have been on this show. What our Fitfluential membership is designed to do is meet you in the middle and provide all of the education and inspiration that you need, all of the community and accountability that you crave, and everything else that's going to keep you from being one of those statistics in January. All those people that say, I'm going to get healthier this year. I'm going to live my best life. And then by the third week in January, the second week in February, all of those aspirations are gone. Don't let that be you. Go to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up now. First of all, I agree with everything you said. Second of all, in my own context, that's what I've said to several people as I've described, and I've tried to not like lead with the bad stuff, but I've referenced several times on the show, and I plan to share a lot more in depth. You know, the last year and a half for me was the worst year of my life. And it was in, like you, in so many areas, in work, in family, in finances, in just, I would just say work, career, finances, all of that in general. Yeah. Just my physical, my health, stress, everything. It was like every corner of my life, everything was bad. And I remember often saying my prayers going, okay, I know everything happens for a reason, but like, I'm so tired. And you had said this before about when you were young with your parents getting divorced, that you kind of felt like every day worrying about when something else bad is going to happen. Yeah. I've lived like that for about 2 years, probably a year and a half. And when I finally did what you did, which is I changed my perspective. I can't pinpoint exactly when it was, but you do. You can have an aha moment where I think some people will just choose to go a totally different path of I'm going to get angry, bitter, feel sorry for myself, turn into just a horrible, negative, whiny, pathetic person. I don't think anybody will consciously choose that. But you know what I'm saying? Like that's the path that you choose, the path of least resistance. And I'm just going to, as you said, I'm going to go through the motions of getting through this life. And they'll typically complain and bitch about it. And a lot of people do that. But you chose to wake up and number one, realize I've got this. I can handle this. And then that changed your perspective on everything. Perspective changes everything. So first of all, I commend you for that. And I think everybody, if you're going through whatever it is, a crap ton of just life's chaos, understand that if you can take time to like peel through the layers. Yeah, I'm sounding like Oprah. I don't care. Peel through the layers and like try to get some meaning out of it. It's happening for you. And if you figure that out, it doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean it's pleasurable. It doesn't mean it's fun. But if you can figure out why is this presenting itself in your life? And if you choose to humble yourself and learn the lessons and change, you're going to come out on the other side. So Brian, you got to that point for you. And obviously you've been through, you know, you kind of brought us to like, I feel like it's the end of a really pivotal Grey's Anatomy session or, you know, TV show. And I'm like, wait, and then they're going to go tune in 3 weeks from now. So what happened when you had that aha moment? What did you start to do differently? And then how did you get to this point with do a day? And I mean, was this over a long period of time? What happened next?
So, I mean, it started immediately where one of the most pressing things, I was like, you know, use this feeling to change your life. And the most obvious thing in front of me that was 100% in my control, like obviously the most important thing was my wife's survival, but that's not 100% me. I can contribute to that, but 100% me is my wellness. Like no more. I used to say like, I spent the first half of my life obese and the second half trying not to be. That's a pretty crappy way to live. No more trying not to be fat. Like you will be fit and that's who you will be. And so I set a goal really specific. Like I was 222. I'm going to get to 185 by the end of the year. And, you know, that was almost 40 pounds. It's a good amount of weight. It's, you know, it's enough time and not too much time. Like I'd have to do specific things for it. I didn't get there. I got there in October instead of December. So by the end of the year, I was at 180 and I've basically been there for the rest of my life. Wow. Like I'm actually 174.6, but who's counting right now? But that's just because I've started running again more after knee surgery. But like, my weight is a complete non-issue because I took charge of my wellness and this is who I am. I'm not a guy who works out to try not to gain weight. Mm-hmm. So that was like first and foremost. And the thing is, I got really public with it. And so I was posting on social media and people took notice. And I did that on purpose. I wanted the social pressure and I wanted some people to be cheering me on. Like, you know, I wanted some cheerleaders in this. And I got both those things. But what I didn't expect was, and this is where like my coaching work and the influential exposure came from, was people who took notice also wanted help. And they're like, I can't believe how you've turned things around and look at all that you're doing. And it's like success leads to more success. So it wasn't just wellness, like other big things started to happen because I was putting myself towards achieving them. And so I had friends who were like, can you help me? And so kind of organically, I started coaching people and I'm like, I want so much more of this. Like I loved watching people just grab hold of their lives and turn them around. So I got certified as a personal trainer, which is funny because I never set foot in a gym or helped anyone train after getting the certification. It was only before getting it. So like, whatever, I've got all the knowledge now. But and then I got another certification around behavior change, which is really where I focus because that's what Do A Day is ultimately about. It's about changing your behaviors through three key ingredients. And Do A Day is the fourth. It's an execution. But it's the first is self-love. Like you got to have that. Nothing else we talk about matters. If you don't believe that you deserve better and you don't believe that you're capable of better, then nothing else we talk about is ever going to have an effect because you're going to sabotage. Mm. So it's like, you know, we're all self-deprecating, constantly putting ourselves down. We don't take compliments. We get into competitions with who had it worse at work yesterday, like who worked later. And the guy who is there later is the winner for like the one who's more miserable is better.
My boss is worse than yours.
Totally. So it's like, you know, when someone compliments you in something, just say thank you. And if you can't do that, just say, I'm glad you liked it. Because surely you can be happy that someone else is enjoying something. Mm. So like just allow for you being better and slowly but surely you'll start to work then. And so I tell people stop the but. Like as soon as the word but comes into your mind, knock it off. Just say thank you and move on. Self-love. And then the next is that true motivation. And it's the thing that was thrust upon me. No one that I coach ever has these like gun in your face kind of moments. So I always get like, well, I can't figure it out because I haven't had that. It's like, no, you can. You just have to be willing to get introspective and challenge the heck out of everything that comes into your mind. So when I ask you a deep question, I'm going to probe really hard when you give me your answer. Because like whatever you tell me first is wrong. It's going to start us on the path, but it's too surface level. Why do you want to lose weight? Oh, it's cause so I look good. It's like, well, why do you want to look good? You know, that's a very like superficial outward thing. And you start to go back and forth and you get down to like, you know, there's some deep rooted emotional values level kind of thing. You know, it's like when I help people in their career, it's always like, I want to make more money. And that's, you know, very outward, like material kind of thing. And what you get to is like how they feel in their life, and they're not feeling their own self-confidence. So they're using money as a way for other people to judge them as successful. And so then you start unpacking this whole, like this emotional thing is like, well, why don't you have your self-confidence? What can we do about that? And until we fix that, you're never going to make enough money. I don't care how much it is. It'll never be enough because there's an underlying problem. Same reason I gained weight again.
So
it's that why. And then, you know, the next piece, and I know, you know, so many people in the fitfluential world get how to set good goals, but that's really crucial. It's like, set a real meaningful goal that is where you want your life to be. Not, you know, it's 100 pounds, as daunting as that is, it's not five. Five is just a step along the way, and it's not going to move my life. So set the goal where you want it. And then you've got, you know, your steps along the way, like plan it out effectively, but set the real goal of what you're trying to get to. And do a day itself is the execution. So it's a really mindful, like we keep talking about mindless ways of just sort of like falling into things or not waking up. It's about being really purposeful in every day. So in each day, and this is why, you know, the word day is in do a day, is we live our lives with yesterday and tomorrow. Like all this pain from what we experienced yesterday and all this anxiety and anticipation of tomorrow. And we make all of our choices today based on the pain of yesterday and the anxiety of tomorrow. And the thing is, it's never yesterday and it's never tomorrow. It's always only today. So I always tell people, like, get up and do what you need to do in support of those big goals we talked about. From that place of motivation and that sense that you are capable of it, go out and do it. That's do a day. It's like, get yourself fired up for those goals because you can. And none of the mistakes you made before, none of the pain you experienced before is here right now. You're not beholden to it. And it doesn't matter how many more times you have to do it in the future, or whether you still have so much to go or any of that, or whether you're going to fail. None of that's happening right now. So just go achieve with the freedom of the current capability. That's so empowering for people.
I'm in love with everything you just threw down. And what I mean by that is, not only can I say that everything you've come through and that you figured out, yeah, I mean, that's what changed, made my change in my life turn around was when, and I hadn't even read your book. You and I hadn't connected and talked about this, but it's the same thing. Like I figured out how to look at my problems and keep asking myself those questions. Like, okay, why do I want to immediately, you talked about food and that food isn't going to help you deal with stress. And, you know, I've been fasting since 2 o'clock yesterday. I'm doing a 24-hour fast. I'm fasting. So I've got a couple more hours, and I get like right before bed and I'm like, I really want some of those chocolate flax muffins by Flax for Life. And they're in my refrigerator and it'd be really good. And I'm just mentally going through this whole like, okay, no one's here right now. No one could see me. Like I could just totally do that and I'll fast another day. And then I just kind of was able to calm down and go, why is it like you got this far, your stomach's grumbling, but you're not dying. Why do you think you want chocolate so bad? And I was able to be like more calm and reasonable, but all of these behaviors that Brian's talking about and the ability to calm down and change your perspective, I don't even know what to touch on everything here. The self-love thing, I love that you as a man can talk about the importance of that, because I remember 10, 20 years ago, if I heard somebody talk like when the Whitney Houston song came out, The Greatest Love of All, I remember going, what? That sounds just so arrogant. It's so selfish. I didn't get it. I didn't get what self-love was about. And I've probably spent the better part of my adult life self-loathing. And now I know the difference, but you don't hear as many men talking about that. So
right.
I love that you did. And you talk about the importance. And I wrote down everything you said. You deserve better. You're capable of better. And then saying thank you. Okay. So I'm just going to say this right now, Brian, we need to have a series because this is all like groundbreaking stuff for everybody, because I certainly know these are all things along the way that made a huge difference in my life. Yeah. So everybody listening, I can tell you this stuff, not being so self-condemning, not being so full of self-loathing, starting to accept compliments, carry your head high. That's not being cocky. That's being confident. And you can still be humble and confident. And everything will change when you view yourself differently. So without going into, you know, a whole college thesis lecture about everything you just said, which I feel that I could, I just want to say, oh my God, I'm so glad that I've had you on the show, because you've taken such amazing steps to, especially after what happened in your life, when I hear that story and I hear about your wife and your young son and where you were in your life, a lot of people could have taken a really bad turn for the worse. You know, yeah. A lot of guys would have left. They would. They would have left. That there would have been a bad situation. You turned it around. And I love everything you're teaching because it makes sense. And I'm living proof that these concepts and these changes in perspective make sense. So I really commend you. What I'd like to do, because I went way over on my time, is number one, I'm going to publicly ask you back on the show because I would really love to talk about a lot of these in potentially a series. Maybe we'll do a day series. Secondly, I want you to tell people where they can find you online on social media and where they can find your book, Do a Day, because I think pretty much everybody, if you've been listening to this, you'd be crazy to not buy the book for yourself. And I think you'll end up buying it as a gift for others. I mean, this is the way we should be living our lives.
Well, thank you for all that. I'm 100% down. We can, like, there's at least 6 more episodes that I think we already plotted out. So yeah,
yes. I'm game.
You can find Do a Day, the book, like everywhere, you know, anywhere you buy books, but there's a site for it. It's just doadaybook.com. It's called Do a Day. It's a book. Hopefully it's easy to remember. And you can buy it there, but you can also get, you know, Amazon, Kindle, Nook, print, iTunes, iBooks, like Audible, it's everywhere. And then you can find me, like you can get to me through Do a Day Book, but I also have brianfalchuk.com if you want to learn how to spell my name. So maybe it's just easier to find me at Do a Day Book, but you can get to my site there. And I'm hyperactive on social media because I have to be. And I'm at Brian Falchuk. And yeah, that's all linked up there too. But please, yeah, connect with me. And Kelly, I give you a shout out because you gave me a chance long time ago before any of this stuff. I mean, you know, I had my wake up moment, but I was still nowhere near any of what I've done so far. And I'm just thankful for that. Like not just having me on today, but you believed in me when I didn't really deserve the ambassadorship, but that meant a lot to me. So thank you.
That makes me so happy. I mean, sometimes, so thank you. It means so much when I've had some people and I have learned to look at myself differently and give myself credit because it means so much when I've had maybe an early ambassador and they came back and they're like, wow, it was such a game changing moment. And I didn't realize it because you know what, people, I was looking at myself differently. I was always apologizing for myself and playing small and going, oh, it's not that big of a deal.
Self-love.
Yeah. Right? And you know what? The truth is, a pivotal moment, I'm closing up on this, but I was interviewed on Eleanor Beaton's podcast earlier this year. And I remember that she put out, I swear to God, this was one of the most pivotal moments in my life the past 6 to 9 months. She put the show out and she tagged me in whatever her blurb was about me. And she said, it was more of a business interview than fitness necessarily. Yeah. And she's incidentally going to be on this show. She's another great podcast. Brian, you have a podcast, right?
I'm recording it. It's not coming out till the second half of the year.
Okay. We'll link up to that. Cause
yes.
What an amazing podcast we should all sponsor. I want to make that a big part of the show is linking up to great other podcasts because I'm going so much over our time, but I just don't care. Eleanor Beaton put this podcast out about me and our interview. And she said, I think it was her Instagram, she said, Kelly Alexa, da 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 da, built a 7-figure business from nothing. And it was just the way that she described me. And I remember I read it and I'm like, who's that? Like, I'd never thought of myself in that way. And to be compared with other people, it suddenly made me realize how much I'd been playing small, how much I had been apologizing for myself, how much I'd been minimizing the gift that I'd been given. And frankly, I realize it now. I do give a gift back to other people and I take it very seriously, the opportunity I have to make a positive impact on the lives of others. Clearly you do too. But yeah, I love that you brought up self-love. We will definitely be talking that in our soon to be launched Do a Day series with Brian.
Yes.
That's all there is to it on Fitfluential. So Brian, this was so awesome. I literally have chills over here. I'm going to need to take some coffee to warm up, but this was awesome. I'm so excited to have you back on the show. For everybody listening, as usual, we will link everything up that we talked about, including how to spell Brian's last name.
I forgot one thing. a discount for people listening on the sign.
Oh, that's right.
I never do that. So if you want the sign book, I have a discount on my site that brings it down to the price of the unsigned. It's just FF podcast. You can throw that in, awesome. Grab the sign book in your cart and just put in that FF podcast code.
You're the bomb. If you guys have any questions for when we have Brian back on or for other shows that we're going to be doing, if you have subjects that you'd like us to address, please don't hesitate to write to us. It's great to hear from you. We'll also have a voice option going live next week where you can leave us a voicemail and we'll feature your voicemail if you give us permission to on the show. But that's podcast@fitfluential.com. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. It has been a pleasure. Obviously, Brian, we'll have you back on the show. And for everybody tuning in, we encourage you to take a moment, really think about everything we talk about the show, and start finding your fitness. Start finding what really sets you on fire and lights up that happiness thing inside of you. That's what we want you to do. It's not about telling you how much cardio to have, how much calories or macros you should be focusing on. It's like, find what really works for you, but also makes you change your life for the better. That's what finding your fitness is all about. And we are dedicated to bringing a lot more of that your way, including the Do a Day series with Brian Falchuk. So we will see everybody next time. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.